there was a special music. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm blessed to be here with you this morning.
Amen.
It's a blessing to be here. I spent the week in your community already before I even met you guys, and I must say it was a blessing. God has brought me here for a purpose, and I'm glad that he did. My full name, for most of you, my full name is Othniel Francois Jr. I'm a child of Haitian parents.
Amen.
Oh, must be Haitian. How you doing? Comment ça va?
Merci.
Merci, merci. Très bien. I must say, God has always been good to me. Everywhere I've been, I feel like I am home. In every church I've been, I felt that I'm home. Even if it's the first time I've been there, I felt that I'm home. Because God always have added little thing within the church that either reflect my sermon or reflect people that I could be attached to. So I say thank you to the Lord for that. I'm very grateful also to Pastor Woman for accepted me to come to be part of the ministry in this area with my good friend here, Vadim. We are both from Andrews University. We are studying there also. In September, late August, I'll be studying the Master in Divinity at Andrews. So God has been very, very, very good to me. We are here today, this morning, to worship the Lord and to find out what message that God has for us today. And as we've been going throughout the week and talking to people in the neighborhood, we find out that everyone was very welcoming. Even those who didn't want to see us didn't treat us bad. They, as soon as we about to turn to their door, they quickly said, "Thank you, I'm all set." So, and we always reply, "Thank you for letting us talk to you." And even those who walk to the door, and we walk to the door, they will like, they open the door just before we start talking. They'll be saying, "Oh, I'm on the phone. I'm working right now. What can I do for you?" And we said, "Okay, we don't want to disturb you." We just give them a gift and just to show them that kindness. And most of them, all of them, are always kind to us. So today, the message is very simple for us today. As we see what's going on in this world, the trouble that we are facing, the thing that's going on, it's nothing new to us. It's nothing new. But I come to believe that we are in a stage that we must be ready. We must be ready for the thing that is coming. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity you have given me to be here this morning to be the spokesperson for you. May your Holy Spirit be with me, Lord, so that everything I say may not be of me, but of you. And everyone listen may be blessed. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. One of the concerns that we heard a lot this week when we come to our whether our religious freedom or our freedom of speech is great, it's greater, better, or the same, most people respond that it is getting worse. Most people respond that both our religious freedom and our freedom of speech is getting worse. But Jesus told us that this time was coming. If we go to Matthew 24, verse 3 to 14, Matthew 24 tells us that this day was coming. Matthew 24, verse 3 to 14. Now, as Jesus talking, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciple came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. It will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Are we reading on wars right now? Are we hearing the rumors of wars right now? Those are the things that Jesus was telling us that they are coming. And when we read the rumors of this, said that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquake in various places. Are we hearing about earthquakes now in various places? And that's not long. That's not, you know, we're hearing those things right now. They're happening right now. In different places, we are having earthquake that is happening, that many are dying. So as usual, the Bible is always true. The Bible always will always be there to warn us of what's to come. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to the tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nation, and then the end will come. Two things that I try to promote as much as I can wherever I go. It's two types of saying that we've been saying for years that we need to change. One of the saying, one of them is, dear, is that my grandfather was one of the first pastor, the first preacher of the gospel of Seventh-day Adventists in Haiti. I'm from Haiti. And my grandfather, one of the first pastors to preach the gospel of Haiti in the 1920s. My father, who was not a pastor, but was a great servant of the Lord, he passed away 2 years ago. He used to preach the gospel all the time. My grandfather used to preach, the end is near, the end is near, the end is near. My father used to preach, the end is near, the end is near. And I decided I will not preach the end is near. I will preach we are living at the end of time. We need to stop saying the end is near. We are at the end of time. We are at the end of time. But also, if we looked at what we can end, is not because we are right now living in the end of time. The end of time is telling us we are at the end of time. In verse 6, in the same verse in Matthew 24, verse 6 and 7, it said, and you will hear of war and rumor of war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. So those are the things we're hearing now. We hear wars against other nations, earthquake, all those things we're hearing now. So we must be aware that we are not waiting for the end of time to come. We are living at the end of time. Flood in Korea in July, in Louisiana in June, earthquake in Venezuela in June, in Philippines in June. Those are the things that's happening now. Now that we know this thing to come, this is the second thing that we must learn to stop saying. I am getting ready for the second coming. We need to stop saying that we are getting ready for the second coming. Because what does getting ready means? You're not ready. Amen. Getting ready means you are not ready. You must be ready. All of us must be ready now. Because there may not be a tomorrow. One of the stories of the Bible that is very clear to us is highlighted in the text that we read this morning. In 1 Samuel 17, 10, talk about who? The fight between David and Goliath. And David come to the combat field. Me as a veteran in a part of an infantry, I understand what it is to be in combat. I understand what it is to be prepared to be in combat. I understand the mindset that you must have when you're getting ready to be in combat. So David went to bring some nourishment for his brothers that were in the army, in the Israel army, waiting to fight the Philistine. And when David came, he's hearing of the thing that Goliath is saying. And the thing bothered him. So David went up to his brothers. And if we look at, and we start in verse 17, Jesse, the father of David, told David, "Take now for your brothers and go there and gather in these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp." So David took the time to go to his brother to bring them some food. And we get to verse 23. Then as he talked with them to his brother, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. This is the first time David is hearing what Goliath been saying to the army of the Israel every day. And all the men of Israel, and they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadful afraid. This text bothered me. Here we are. Israel is the people of God, right? They are serving the mighty God. They are serving the true God. And someone came to them to challenge them, and they were what? All afraid. I don't understand. I'm serving a mighty God for me to be afraid. I don't have the picture with me, but when I was in the army, I made a portrait of myself with all the weapon that the army allowed me to carry. And I had a picture of Jesus on the side of me, and I used Psalm 23, and I said, "Although I walk the valley of death, I fear no evil, because God and I is the meanest in the valley." So and when I was in the army, I said to myself, by me having God on my side, I have no fear. I know God will protect me. And here we are, the Philistines challenging the people of God, and who knew who God was, and they were afraid. They were afraid. Then we move on. Then David spoke to them, saying, "What shall be done for the man who killed this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel?" David knew that this man was insulting not only to him. What does Israel mean to him? Was it just the people? To him, David felt that the man was not just insulting Israel, but he was insulting God directly. "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the army of the living God?" So David understood that the army was the army of the living God. So no one in that army should be afraid to challenge Goliath. But this is where it gets interesting. No one believed that David was able or was ready to face Goliath. None of them believed that David was ready to face Goliath. Because even his brothers was mad at him, saying, "What are you doing here? Who is taking care of our flock?" So they were more worried about the flock that David left behind than what David was trying to tell them. My friend, so many times, a lot of people are not ready to receive the word of God. Even though you are there to tell them what God can do for them, they don't want to hear you. And his brother didn't want to hear him. And even when David was shouting even louder, "No, we cannot let this man define a God," the word got to the king. And the king said, "Bring this man to me." Even Saul didn't even believe that David was ready. What did Saul tell David? David, if we look, we start on verse 32. Then David to Saul, "Let no man's heart fall because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." So David knew he was ready. But Saul didn't believe that he was ready. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and a man of war from his youth." In other words, even to my young people here today, I'm telling you, you are ready right now to serve God. You are ready right now to follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. The minute you were born, God was with you. Even before you were born, if we go to Jeremiah, what did God say to Jeremiah when Jeremiah thought that he was too young? God said, "I knew you where? Before you were in the womb." Jesus knows us. He knows everything about us. He knows that right now all of you are ready. Because we read about him. You heard about him. So Saul said to David, "You are not ready. You can't go against this man." How many times all of you sitting here, people are telling you you're not ready for anything. You're not ready for this job. You're not ready for this work. You're not ready. They don't think you are ready. But God is telling you today, you are ready. We must be ready. And David, now is a chance that David has to tell Goliath and to tell Saul that he's what? He is ready. How is David going to tell Saul, the king, that he is ready? But David said to Saul, "Your servant," in verse 34, "your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from his mouth. And when it arose against me, I cut it by his beard and struck and killed it." So David was telling the king that God has been preparing him for this day. God has been preparing him to face Goliath on this day. David was ready. He wasn't going to get ready. He wasn't going to learn. In other words, when Saul told him that Goliath been fighting for years, he was telling David, "You must go back and learn how to fight for maybe the next couple of years, and when you became stronger and bigger, then you could come and fight Goliath. But David was like, no. I'm ready right now. Because God has been preparing me for this day. Saul still wasn't convinced. Okay? But David says, so your servant is ready. Your servant had killed both lion and bear in this uncircumcised. You know, David twice repeat that word. What does it mean to call another man uncircumcised? What was that in those days? What does that mean for you to call? It was a way to insult him. To say that man was not what? Clean. Was not worthy. To him he was a nobody. How could we let a nobody, a someone who's unclean, who God doesn't even register, how are we going to let this man come and talk this way about our God? So David repeated again, your servant will kill both lion and bear, and he, this circumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the army of, did he say the army of the Israelite? He said the army of the living God. We are part of an army of the living God.
Amen.
So David is like, no, I'm not going to get ready. I am ready right now. So my friend, there's no time for us to go get ready. Because going to get ready means you are not ready. At this moment we are here right now, we must come to the conclusion to say to yourself, I am ready right now to receive Jesus Christ. I am ready right now to accept that God is the living God. I am ready right now to whatever I do every day moving forward will be with my God. You must today, right now, this meeting decided that if there is no tomorrow for you, you are ready because God is with you. And there is no other place that is more fitting to understand the readiness that you must be if we don't go to the very simple example that Jesus gave us of the 10 virgins. If we go to Matthew 25, and all of you know the stories, but we read it all the time. But we don't understand that Jesus was telling you in that story that you must be ready. There is no going to get ready. You must be ready. In Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13, it talks about 10 virgins who was waiting for the bridegroom to come. And they all came with lamp with oil in it, right? They all came with lamp with oil in it. But five of them came with the lamp, with just the oil in the lamp they carried. Another five came with what? The lamp also. But what did they do with them extra? Extra oil. Because they knew that just in case the bridegroom is coming time, all they have in that lamp will go out. And they didn't want to do what? They didn't want to go out and look for more oil and to miss it. So they brought extra with them. So my friend, as you're sitting here right now, you must have extra Jesus in you. You must carry extra God with you. And how do we do that? Every second you walk around, think about Jesus. I tell people think that they have to get down on their knee every second to pray to the Lord. I'm driving in my car. If I'm listening to a gospel music, I'm with Jesus Christ. If in my office I sit down, I'm thinking about a sermon, I'm talking to Jesus all the time. You don't have to get on your knees and shout hallelujah for you to be communicate with Jesus. Just being silent and thinking about God, you are communicating with God. We must have a constant communication with Jesus Christ. We must be ready every second of our life. We must be ready for when the Lord calls you, you are ready. I have a story of a friend of mine that I knew. He was the choir director of a church. And one Sabbath morning, he goes to church and direct the choir beautifully. Everything was perfect. Everything was fine. Direct the choir just before the sermon. And everybody say, amen. It was a beautiful day. And then he sat in the front next to his wife. He sat there, listened to the sermon. And we know, all of us, once in a while, we do kind of fall asleep in church. You know, we get too tired, we understand. So he take a little nod into his wife's shoulder. And his wife, you know, what all wife does to their husband. Come on, don't embarrass me here. You know, try to wake him up. And unfortunately, on the second bump, and she realized that he was not, you know, waking up. He was just going back to him. And sadly, the husband was dead. I'm saying this to let you know, the man got up that morning, dressed, ready to go to church, knew what he had to do at church, and not once in his mind came the thought that today would have been his last day. So I asked myself, we don't know, none of us knew. Was he ready? Was he ready for that moment? So that's why I'm asking you today. Jesus, in that example, he said a key question, a key answer that he told us that we must cling to. In verse 25, Matthew 25, 1 to 13, when he gets to the teen, he said, 13 said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Jesus is telling you, you don't know the day, the time, the hour the man of God is coming back. So therefore, my friends, we are at a time where we are living in the end of time. Any day could be the end. We don't know. There are some of us here who's making plan to go on vacation next month, making plan to get married next month, next year. We are making future plan. I'm making plan to go back to Andrews in September to go to school. I'm making plan to graduate in 3 years, in 2 years. I have planned that 3 years. I made plan to go see my grandkids. So I have made a lot of plan. But as I make those plans, I have to understand that today, I must be ready today. Tomorrow is not guaranteed to me. Tomorrow is not guaranteed to one of us. As we go to the neighborhood, we are seeing people that some of them understand that they are living at the end of time. One man told us about it. His house is full with food already. He even had food for his cat, you know, because you want to make sure that his cat has enough food to eat. You know, people are understanding that the thing that we're seeing right now is a sign of we are at the end of time. So my people, my friend, my new family, I encourage you, to really, really, really understand that we are at the end of time, and every single one of us must walk ready. So when the Lord come, you be the first to say, Jesus, I am here. I've been waiting for you. May you take me with you to your kingdom. And I hope to see all of you there. That's my prayer for every single one of you. May God bless you.